For March the 7th, 2014, we talk about the Batman Arkham Knight announcement, The Legend of Zelda: A Link Between Worlds, and we ask you what game you anticipated the most. Welcome to the 53rd level. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. I forget how we open this show. I go in and I riff a little bit. I say something else. I thank
David
you guys for being here. What's that?
Yeah. So David Gingon is throwing us off.
Yeah. He wasn't able to make it tonight.
He's our anchor.
He's our rock. It's the center. It is the center around which everything flows.
But you guys can't see it. He actually
upon him.
He shoots us notes throughout, telling us exactly what we should say and when.
Oh, he writes our script.
We're all just really, we're reading his lines essentially that he sends to us. So it's a difficult thing to do without him.
Yeah,
he works on actually for Google on the side and fills in the auto suggest. Yeah. It's the David suggest, really.
Just sitting in Cerebro. Oh, man. So David isn't here. And just as kind of a programming note, I will not be doing a show next week. If you guys want to do one as like a bonus level, you can. Because next week is Dark Souls 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm going to be sequestered away from society in order to get everything taken care of there, because that is a huge event. And so just giving you guys a heads up that might be a thing. So
are you going to tweet? Are you going to tweet this?
I don't know if I'm going to live tweet it. I think I'm going to try and hold in as much of that magic as possible.
Okay.
I mean, if something's crazy, it's going to be a spoiler anyway. So I'm probably not gonna go too crazy with it. Yeah,
just tweet like, oh, that was awesome, you won't believe this,
why aren't just you playing this? Yeah.
I can't take the full day off for it, and I don't want to just try to like squeeze it in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm almost wondering if I wait till the weekend to go for it, but I don't want to be spoiler inundated either.
Yeah.
So it's the strategery there is tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you know, I'm never not working. is the thing. There's like no such thing as like I am off right now. So like all that's different for me is I'm just not going to be in the studio. So you know, we'll see how that shakes out. But mm-hmm. Yes. So that is the programming. Also, we're going to change up the order a little bit this week, and we're going to do the multiplayer after the grind, of course. So it's going to be news, talking about our little topic here, and then we're going to round out with the things that we have that we've been rounding out this week.
I believe you said after the grind. I believe you after.
I meant after the brief. Yeah, I forgot the stupid things we call these things. So
David did type the names in, so we didn't know what it was.
Yeah, we are through the looking glass, people. Now it's time for the brief. I said it right that time, where we talk about things that are happening in the world around us. Ben, I have a feeling that you have a story.
Okay.
Do you want me to steal your story?
Well, what's your story? And we'll see if it's my story or not.
Okay, cool. So apparently a British retailer blew up the spot and revealed that there is a game called Batman Arkham Knight being released later on. Okay.
This was not my story, but this sounds awesome.
Yeah. So this was it's going to be by Rocksteady, published by Warner Brothers still. It's going to have a drivable Batmobile. And also it's going to have villains such as the Penguin, Scarecrow, Two-Face, and Harley Quinn, who's going to be a playable character, kind of like the Catwoman was.
Oh, interesting. You said this was by Rocksteady?
Yes, this is Rocksteady developed Arkham Knight.
Awesome.
Yep. So that's
so Ben is allowed to like it.
Yeah. Ben can permit himself.
Well,
yeah. Well, also you played Arkham Origins, so you have every right to like be all down on it. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, is there a release date for this?
So like after this leak went out, and it may have been planned, who knows, Warner Brothers put out a trailer, which looks pretty cool. And also there's a release date of October the 14th of 2014. And so it's okay. Current gen systems. I'm going to say that instead of next gen. So Xbox One, PS4, and mm-hmm. Windows PC.
Did Arkham City have Batmobile, or was it all like on foot?
No,
did not have Batmobile.
Foot or flight?
Yes, Arkham City was all about the grappling hook and the gliding.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah. So this will be the fact that it's included makes me think that there is a even larger area to explore.
Yeah, or it's going to be a more a less vertical experience and kind of a more like sprawling and horizontal. I'm not sure how I feel about the Batmobile, just because of the way that like so much of the structure of at least the Arkham games that I played, how much the structure revolved around, you know, just the fact that you are Batman and just his gadgets. So it would be pretty cool if that was just like, you know, if they relied less on the fact that like, oh, this is a car, and more on like, oh, this is like the coolest car. Mm-hmm. Right.
So use it for its gadgetry rather than necessarily just a transportation.
Yeah, yeah.
So one thing is, I think the Arkham games kind of thrive on intimate environments, at least for Arkham Asylum and Arkham City as well.
Yeah.
But, so they introduce a Batmobile that kind of makes you think that they will have a much larger environment. So I wonder how that'll pan out.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a much larger environment that relies more on like, oh, this is like a main thoroughfare, so you're going to be driving a lot.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
No. You don't understand. The Batmobile is the most intimate environment. You actually accidentally drop your phone down behind the seat cushion, you know, like you do sometimes when you're driving, and you have to spend an entire level trying to fish it out. You get to know the Batmobile very well.
I thought you were going in an entirely different direction with that. I thought you were going to say, like, yeah, no, Lucius Fox, he got back there and he added, like, a special compartment for fucking. Like, you ever had, like, speeding bat sex? What?
That's the equivalent of, like, you know, Superman having sex while flying is Batman having sex in the Batmobile.
I suppose. Huh. It's the most intimate location. I don't even know.
Like the back of a Volkswagen?
Ugh, man.
It's a Mallrats reference.
That's why I went, ugh.
Oh, because you don't like Mallrats?
No. Kevin Smith, to my mind, like just all of those experiences have aged pretty poorly for me. So,
I see.
So that is just my own opinion. But, you know, I appreciate talking about, you know, pop culture and stuff. That is something that I do a lot. And that is probably something I picked up from those movies. So,
you say Mallrats qualifies as pop culture?
Maybe. No, just like the whole thing where, like, they sit around talking about, like, Jaws and shit. And that's pretty much what I do at work all the time. So, either I'm insufferable or those movies are. It can't be both. So, yeah. I don't even know, but that's my story. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, it looks good. I haven't played City yet, but I really liked Asylum.
No, like they must have put City on a PSN deal.
Yeah, I have to go back. It's one of those things where it's an embarrassment of options for me. I'm curious though, Ben. If that wasn't your story, what the hell is your story?
Dude, I don't know, man. I don't know. I have a weak story. I don't even want to share it. I could talk about games that came out today, but that doesn't even seem like much of a story.
I just like straight scooped you. Sorry.
It's all good. Actually, while thinking for the past minute, I think I have something that I can talk about.
Okay.
It is an update for last week's brief where Twitch ended up... The Twitch Pokemon, they ended up eating Pokemon, finally.
Yeah, good wins.
Yeah.
I guess.
And then they were going to do something like 8 or 17 hours afterwards, but I never checked up on it after that.
Yeah, they're playing Pokemon Crystal now.
All right.
Really?
Which I think... What's that?
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Huh. And I think Pokemon Crystal is the only one that I've actually played for any length of time.
That's the one that is to Gold and Silver as Yellow is to Red and Blue. Is that correct? Like, that is the collected and ultimate version of that generation?
Pokemon is this weird blind spot for me, so okay. I am completely unknowledgeable. I just know that it was a save cartridge, or excuse me, the save cartridge on it was dead, so I tried to get as far as I could without turning off the Game Boy.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It was a good, you know, I would say 2-hour session or something like that, but never went anywhere.
Yeah, no, that's like a straight up like 50-hour game.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I saw a little bit of it because after you talked about it last week, Ben, I went and kind of looked at it, and so, you know, they've got this whole anarchy and democracy thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way they changed it now is that every 30 minutes it resets to all the way democracy, just because there were so many people, I guess, gathering forces to go to anarchy that it was becoming unplayable. So now they've kind of built in. Is the guy still? I think it's still anonymous, the person who put this together, which is nuts.
It's like an Australian programmer. I know that much.
I've heard people say an anonymous Australian programmer is okay. The way I've heard it described. So,
with the amount of attention that got, and with like just the sheer stats that I saw, there has to be somebody who can like sniff that. Like just the sheer amount of like internet detectivery that happens on even like less notable stuff than that. Mm-hmm. Like I would have to say like the somebody knows this guy's name.
Yeah.
So I'm watching the stream right now and there's commands every now and then, but there's a lot of swastikas and penises being drawn as the comments as well.
Oh no. So, sounds like it's gone downhill.
Sounds like the internet got to it. So.
Yep. Oh man, internet's leaking. You have to scuttle the whole thing.
Now that you say that, it seems so obvious. I can't believe that lasted long enough to actually, you know, complete a game before it got to that point.
before it got to the swastika point?
The swastika threshold?
Yeah.
Like progress slowed once it blew up because, yeah, there's a lot of that. But
yeah.
Whatever.
You know, some men just want to watch the world burn. But it's just one of those things. I forget what I even said, you know, last week about it, but you know, just people will ask like, hey, have you paid attention to, and like, oh, it's like, this is like hail the Helix, happy Helix Day, like are you talking about like that Canadian band, like are you talking about like Canadian rock music to me right now? It's like no, Twitch plays Pokemon, right? And it's like, I said it last week, but I'll say it again, it is a panic attack to watch that is what it is like to have, you know, it's like just to be revving it in neutral, like it's a bunch of sensory information and no progress. It's like, so it's interesting to hear about it, and I like the mimetic cultural and like religious stuff that like pops up around it, like insofar as I've not saw any of it out, but like I like the idea of, you know, just kind of these bootstrapped, you know, little societies that exist for a moment and then go away forever, but yeah. this won't go away for, you know, forever because it's the internet.
It's out there.
Yeah, no, it's now a thing. So I'm going to be curious what happens with that in Crystal, because that does have a little bit more story, and like they're eventually like just like getting more of like the weirdness to it. Like that's like that's mm-hmm. where they get like the alphabet mind guys. And then, like, that weird set of Pokemon and, like, spelling stuff out. That's, yeah.
What's interesting, so you said it was, you know, an anxiety attack to watch it. And I heard you last week, but I did not understand you last week until I actually went in and watched it myself. Mm-hmm. And it's not like the big stuff, like, oh, no, you're going to lose this battle. Or, oh, no, they're going to let go of this Pokemon. Although I'm sure that's incredibly anxiety-inducing. But it's the stuff like, oh, God, they're going back into the Pokedex again. That's another 5 minutes we're going to spend in the Pokedex.
Yep.
Like, it's that shit. Yep, it's like, anxiety-inducing.
Okay, so we're trying to walk up these, like, steps. Like these mountain steps, and say, okay, they're walking in circles, hitting a tree, and then down five ledges, and like that's an hour away, and there are people who keep this open in the browser, like while they're living their lives.
Yeah. Oh, it's ridiculous.
I just I know this is the second week in a row that we've talked about this thing, but am I the one with the problem?
Yes.
Okay. You are the responsible adult with a job.
I guess. I mean, I don't even want to disparage people, like, because there are people who I know who are responsible adults with jobs. Like, some of them have jobs that are eerily similar to mine, like in the same office and shit, who are like bringing it up to me. It's like, huh, that's weird.
Interesting.
Don't talk to me about Helix.
And kudos to everyone, the internet, for beating the game. That's cool.
So we talked about it. Like, it won't be on this week's Those Damn Ross Kids, but it'll be on next week's. Or it is not on this week's. It is on. It is not on this week's. It is on next week's. There we go. Where there is a service that is kind of like affiliated with the Pornhub network of websites. That is like, it's called PornMD. We talked about it like a long while back, about like the map of search terms, like, you know, seeing like what people are searching for in Iran, you know, and like the breakdowns of like the top 10 search terms by state, you know, and just see what that is. That is, you know, it's very interesting sociological stuff, but because like all of these little sites are conglomerated around this one network, they're able to pull in and actually create a feed, like a live feed of what everybody is searching for.
Oh God.
At any given time. Okay. And so I brought it up and that was a bad idea. But just like it creates the stuff that isn't just like outright disgusting, you know, like it creates like this awesome unintentional poetry. But looking at it and taking a step back, you realize that what you're seeing is like the darkest corner of some grim collective unconscious. Okay, and it's like just this weird collected will, and it's strange that popped up, you know, roughly around the same time as like Twitch plays Pokemon, you know, because what that shows is like that there is this weird mimetic interest in these collaborative like data mining things. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know, you just like you look at both, like what happens when, you know, a million different people at once try and play a game, and what happens when you peek in on millions and millions of people at once in what they feel like is their most private, darkest moment. You know, not like darkest. Yeah. I'm not like sex. I'm even shame on you for doing this thing. You know, quite the opposite. Whatever. Well, just like literally whatever. But you know, but like
who knew
literally whatever.
not literally whatever. Come on, let's be reasonable here. But like, you know, so not like deepest, darkest, but like your most private, right?
Which apparently involves Pokemon, swastikas, and penises.
Well, yeah. Oh man.
And now the Doge icon.
The Doge icon. Are people doing ASCII art of Doge?
Okay, I will judge you for that.
Okay. You found the line and crossed it. Good day, sir.
So one thing that's kind of cool about it, though, is it's like one of the first examples of like a collective consciousness. And of course, right now, it's not as good as a single person's consciousness as far as like control. Mm-hmm. But like, I imagine like if this were utilized in the right way, you could do something cool with it, you know?
I suppose that's what I'm trying to say. Right. Or are you restating a thing that I was ineptly trying to say, because that's totally what's awesome about it. Right.
Yeah.
Like just the collective will.
Yeah.
Twitch plays Pokemon will go down in history as the first way to truly generate random numbers. Mm. That's what we're on here. That's what it's going to become.
I'm not sure there is such a thing as a random number.
Ooh.
Snap. Throwing snaps. Like I'm just
someone
one
light a bowl.
Oh, here we go. Cole's talking about numbers. we have Ben just cradling his chin on his hands. Like, oh,
that's
just keep,
right.
Just
I have
keep
a beer tonight, so I'm good.
Keep talking.
Yeah.
No. But like, so it would have to be like pure like thought experiment, right? In order for it to be truly random, because like what happens is, you know, if there's a threshold that's crossed, if you take away the noise, you know, like what ultimately comes back on that is, just, you know, okay, we recognize our goal is north, so we hit up and we keep walking that way. So with it, like, in order to make it like that, it would have to be, we're getting this into some like 9 hours, nine persons, nine doors shit here, but like just like literally sit, and every time this light lights up, hit one of these six buttons and no matter what, and see what happens there, as opposed to
that's Twitch Plays Tetris.
Oh no, like, well, we talked about it, we said Twitch Plays Pokemon Plays Tetris, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't even know. Oh, Dennis, why don't you round us out?
Yeah. I will share a story with you, and hopefully you guys will share your games with me, because the Steam family sharing has gone big. It's out of the beta phase, and it's available to all now, which allows you with up to 10 other people to kind of share your library. And as long as you are not logged in, other people who are authorized can go in and play your games. And when you do log in, it gives you a brief window of time to finish up and save before it kicks you off for the original person. But you are now, you know, officially able to share digital games and not through piracy.
Okay, so two questions on that. When you say logged in, like even just like having Steam active and open, or on that particular game?
Yeah, the article I have is not terribly clear. It says one user can access the shared library at a time, and should the owner try to access his or her library, guests will have a brief window to finish up. Huh. So I guess maybe you can have it open, and it's when you try to access it that it kicks the other people off.
So, yeah.
But
because that would make more sense, like just like two people trying to play a game off of a library at the same time, not the same one, separate instances. Mm-hmm.
Half the time I don't realize that Steam is open on my computer. Yeah, that's the thing.
I just like straight always have Steam open on my computers. And now that I have that under television box, like there is like literally no time when I am not running Steam.
Cole, disconnect so I can play your games.
Damn it, Cole. I can't. It's like crazy at home. It's like it's as at home as it can be. So
yeah.
So, and this is still something that, like, developers opt into, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. That's pretty cool. I mean, we'll have to, try it out.
How long until you can sell your digital copies is my question. This is kind of the first step down that path.
I think that was actually stopped because some country over in the EU, possibly, let's say, Germany, was trying to say, like, yeah, like they're actually like digital property rights, and it doesn't matter if what you buy is something physical or if it's something, you know, digital, really, you should be able to sell it because you bought it, you own it. And they just like that would actually set a huge precedent for, you know, like, okay, well, right now the model that we've been operating under for so long is that you don't actually own the things that you buy. You just have a license to have permission to play them every once in a while. And yeah. that would actually break that. So I'm not sure that's in the cards, because that was successfully overturned, not recently, but like within the last like 2 years.
Interesting. Yeah, I think I might remember talking about that a while back.
Yeah.
Now that you mention it. Anyway, it's a cool thing. People who are listening, hit me up if you want to be my Steam family. I can share my wonderful games with you.
Let's see here. I just opened this up. I'm right now sitting at just under 250 games. So
holy crap! Never mind. You don't want to be in my family. You want to be in Cole's family.
Oh man!
We just learned.
So sign up for them spots. They going quick.
Yeah.
Are you my dad?
You my Steam dad.
Cole, can we come over and play? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I am so daunted by Steam's interface that, like, the idea of getting in there and trying to activate that actually sounds like it would take out it would sap all of my will to live.
Yeah, it's not clear on how you actually activate it on someone else's computer. That'd be an interesting little rigmarole.
Yeah, or like, you know, is there like a group or something? I don't know. I don't feel like their interface game is right, so. But black hole or not, this is kind of an interesting move forward for the way we play our games and the games of others around us. You guys want to do multiplayer?
Sure.
Let's do it. What's that you say? Which segment?
Multiplayer.
Oh, this is a different order. So yeah, we realized that we were plowing through multiplayer, and we're just giving this a shot to see if it feels better a little bit earlier in the show, and if maybe if it, plowing through some of our what have we been playing section is good as we rush towards our actually ending the episode. Right. Actually figuring out how to budget that time, but who knows? Time is very weird for podcasts. So, mentioned at the beginning of the episode, but next week is Dark Souls 2, which I'm very excited about. Dennis, are you picking it up at launch first week, something like that?
I don't know if I have it in my house that I will be able to resist playing it. So, my goal is to delve into it over the weekend, and I'm not sure if I should buy it right away and have it tempting me or wait to buy it until the weekend. So I am as now undecided. Definitely will get it though, obviously. Okay.
Yeah. And we've been looking forward to that for a good long time. So I wanted to have a frank and honest discussion about game boners. which is a term that I think was coined by Sean Elliott of GFW Radio way back when, which is like when you're just like super excited about a game that's coming out, right? Like the most you've ever looked forward to it. And sometimes people go to crazy lengths in order to satisfy those. So
we call those edgers.
Oh, come on, man. Dude, do you have to bum me out like that?
Yes, I want you to hit rock bottom tonight.
Yeah. What Dennis is alluding to is the fact that we have had tremendous technical difficulties because there is apparently no goddamn better alternative to Skype than fucking Skype. Sorry. Not that I'm angry. Oh no, it's just the angriest I've ever been on mic. Here we go.
Skype is both the worst and best service. So.
No, it is the worst and only.
Yeah. This is one of those situations where I feel significantly safer doing this over the internet. Yeah. I'm not sure what would happen if we were in the same room with Cole right now.
Would you call it a tirade? Would you call it a tirade?
That is so generous. That is so kind to describe what transpired over the past 15 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry, you guys. You know I don't mean it, baby.
Yeah. Hopefully the listeners are surprised and going, what, they had technical difficulties? That is what is going through your mind right now, listener.
Yeah. So this isn't a ramshackle operation that's been running for just a shade under a decade. Come on.
But that brings up a good question. Are you going to edit out Angry Cole?
Angry Cole might go at the end. Right. I don't know. I'm afraid that Angry Cole got too real.
A nice sour note for the end for the listeners.
You're still here? Well, fuck you.
Yeah. I get peaked on the show. Like P-P-I-Q-U-E-D, like just like incensed, I would say. But like it's so hard to get angry because most of what I feel all the time is just numb. So like when something cuts through the noise like that, I'm just genuinely annoyed because the product is being hurt and because our ability to communicate with each other. I interrupted you like 7 times, Ben, as you were trying to make a point. Ugh.
Yeah.
I feel like me, Cole. I feel bad. I feel bad when that happens because I feel like everybody is let down and it's nobody's fault.
Yeah.
So
ugh. Like I said, crossing my fingers that will be a surprise to anyone listening that there was technical difficulties. But
anyway, Ben, before we continue down this hole and I get sadder, why don't you tell us what Gary says?
Sure. Gary says, this hobby is cheap for a patient PC gamer, but the two series that buck the trend for me are Fallout and Dark Souls. The only games I pre-order to play day and date.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Play day and date and get the feelies.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but
cloth maps.
gotta get up on them art books, son. I feel like I slide into that. I don't know if it's offensive, but it's genuinely a very effective way to communicate. dog.
Calling someone son or dog.
Yeah. It's like, you know, like what could be like probably insensitively referred to as street patois, but like, you know, you got to get up on them feelies sometimes. Like, you know, I am trying to winnow down the number of like physical games that I own, right? You know, or at least, you know, stanch the tide. Yeah, right? Physical. Okay, I'm saying, you know, I guess they're stored on a hard drive somewhere. But yeah, sometimes you want that collector's edition of Dark. I don't even know where I'm going to put that fucking statue, you guys.
Like, it has my bed now. I need to sleep on the floor.
Yeah. No, I just like, I'm very economical with my shelf space, and I'm not sure where it's going to go. So, ugh. But yeah, so some of those Fallout feelies are pretty cool. But that is it's always neat when there's something when there's something pulled from the actual in-game universe. Brian says via Facebook, "Yeah, Dark Souls is it for me too." It's almost like our audience is like self-selecting or something. Everybody who couldn't put up with that is like way gone. like 3 years gone.
Let's be honest. The only people who can put up with just the pain and drudgery of this podcast are those who like Dark Souls.
Jeez. I don't know that anybody like. It's funny to joke, but hearing it out loud like that makes me feel real bad.
No.
We're the Dark Souls equivalent of the podcast.
Nah, dog.
That was what I was going to see. You okay. Can say it in a pithy way.
Yeah. There you go. And not like a hurtful way. Okay. You know I'm not actually hurt, right?
We love ourselves. Don't worry. We're not gonna, you know.
Yeah, nothing drastic here. We're not gonna like go on hiatus or whatever. Don't worry. So he says, "I don't typically froth at the mouth for new video games, but I haven't been as excited for a game since I was a child. I have both consoles collector's editions coming to me on release day, and due to the recent Amazon fiasco with the potential that the games could not be here or would not be here until Thursday, I made a backup pre-order with Best Buy to ensure I got the game on release day. I'm also taking the week off of work, a thing I've never done for a video game before." That is devotion. Wow. Brian.
Mm-hmm. Like, I could never do a pre-order through Amazon. I could never do it. I just know it would not get there on time. I know something bad would happen. That is like, you want to talk about an anxiety attack. The idea of pre-ordering something that I really want to play through Amazon or any online service is just nerve-wracking to me.
Which is a nice segue to mine.
Well, go.
I got Portal 2, and I was, you know, it was a game that I was super excited about, but I would like had to constantly put it out of my mind for like the year before it came out.
Yeah,
I got it like a week after it released, and I was super sad. Like that first Friday when other people in the math department were talking about the game and how awesome it was, and it was just like,
and that was Amazon fucking you around.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Huh.
You should still use the Amazon link, but
yeah.
Not for pre-orders.
It's like
it just sucks because if it's late, you're already committed to getting it through that service, so you can't.
So here's a life hack. Here's a life hack for you. And I've actually done this, not even just with like Amazon, but just with like I got the thing here, but I wanted to get it over here. Like if you buy it someplace, like preferably. Depends on having the money to be able to do this. So say you ordered a game off of Amazon and like at the last minute there was like a snowstorm or whatever and it was absolutely important to you to be able to play it. What you do is you make a secondary, like, okay, I'm going to run to Meijer or Best Buy or Target and get this thing because I know they're going to have it there. Like I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to have to make the run or the errand. You know, there are many reasons to get stuff from Amazon and I very much subscribe to those. But then when your Amazon copy arrives, it's going to be shrink wrapped and then you just take it back to that store and return it.
Ah, look at you.
Yeah.
So, all right, so now we have a scheme for how to like get a bunch of money through the Amazon link for anything that we would buy normally. Just order through Amazon.
Holy shit, that's actually if I was an amoral person, that's actually kind of brilliant.
Are you calling me amoral, Doc? Come on.
Evil.
No, I do not at all encourage you to do that because like it still feels a little gross. I if I if
oh,
I
wait,
bought
you're not getting, some... never mind
What?
You're not getting all your money back. You still have to buy one copy. Sorry, I was thinking that you return it and you would get all your money back.
No, no,
and
yeah.
And it would go through the Amazon link. No, you still have to buy a copy. Okay, never mind. It's not brilliant.
No, no, it actually, I mean, it would be kind of brilliant if you're like, oh, I want to get this thing from Target because they're going to have a better price or something. I don't even know. But it would be, if your sole goal was to get us that 4% or whatever, then yeah. But I would not say go do this thing. But like, I've done that, like, you know, just like for PC games and stuff where it's like, all right, so I'm going to get this and then I'll get the other one and take it back. I feel gross. So if I bought a human heart thinking that it was going to save my life and I opened the box and inside that box was just a big old dump. Like, this box said heart on the outside. It didn't say a big old dump on it. I should probably return this. Like, standing in line at that customer service, like, counter, and like going up and saying, yeah, you know, totally got this. Thought I was gonna save my life. There's a dump in there, not a heart. Maybe it's your guys' bad. I'm not entirely sure. Like, even if the store is flagrantly in the wrong, or like just any of those kind of things, returning anything is just a social interaction that is fraught with judgment and like the need to like make an excuse and just crippling anxiety.
Sure, sir. Are you sure you didn't want a dump? I mean, many people use dumps for hearts.
Yeah,
and generally prefer it. Are you sure that you didn't really want this?
Yeah. So, do you want cash or store credit? Oh man, I should probably do store credit because that like affects your profit margins less. I could probably go find something. Sir, this is Bath and Body Works. You use unscented soap and unscented laundry detergent. Come on. Like, why are you here in the first place? Like, no, take the cash and go away.
you can have cash, store credit, or we cannot put you in purgatory for more time, you horrible, horrible person.
Yeah, you monster. You just horrible shit of a man. I hate it. Don't make me return stuff. But that is a way to do it. So his idea of having a backup one. And yeah, like that was a huge thing. Like, I wake up on Monday morning and I have I have an email from Amazon saying like, hey, this thing that, you know, that's going to be delivered, like that you're having shipped to your office, like, and like you totally would like just like stay home that day, except you want to have it shipped to the office so that it would be, you know, so it's like sure to be picked up by somebody, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's not coming in on Tuesday, it's coming in on the 13th. And like, I probably pulled kind of a dick move. Like, I wrote in, you know, like I could have just written in and said like, hey, you know, I have Prime, I ordered this like 6 months ago. Is it possible for you to like bump me up to release date shipping? I'm not sure if there was an oversight. I wrote in and I said like, hey, it's like really, really important for my business that I have this on the release day. And they were like, okay, cool. I might as well have just written Google me. Yeah. And so they said, yeah, it's gonna, you know, like we updated the shipping, blah blah blah, no cost. Hopefully at no cost. Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
No, because you're already paying for Prime at no additional cost.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. But it is fixed, and I'm fully aware that I might have to go to a store and do my little trick there, but you know, you have to do what you have to do. There are crazy lengths. Mm-hmm. Crazy lengths. Dennis, what's Vivian got to say?
Yeah, Vivian says, when I was in elementary school, Final Fantasy II, yeah, it's 4, but I'm posting from a position of childlike innocence here, was my favorite video game. I got it for Christmas the same year I got my SNES, and with the exception of brief forays into Mario World, it occupied the console the majority of the time. I played it and replayed it, beat it from beginning to end multiple times, skipped basketball practice, and stayed up late to hunt exotic rare items. Naturally, I was jazzed about Final Fantasy III coming out when it started showing up in Nintendo Power. Then the strategy guide popped up at Toys R Us, either right as or in advance of the game's release. I bought it and devoured it. I spent hours poring over enemy tables. My parents decided that Final Fantasy III would be their experiment in teaching me patience.
Oh.
I begged her to buy or help me buy the game. And she said she'd get it for Christmas that year, but I'd have to wait for months. Months are an eternity when you're in elementary school.
Oh, yeah.
So I did the only logical thing. I knew she had bought it from the way she was talking, and I knew where they kept the Christmas presents. So I broke into the locked closet where they were stored, rifled through the packages for what looked like a SNES game, and quote-unquote carefully, to my childhood mind, extracted Final Fantasy III. I managed to get through the big Narsh battle sequence over the next day and a half before Mom realized my clever ruse. She was angry, and my parents took the game from me, but thankfully they didn't decide to make it a harsh lesson, and it showed up under the tree on Christmas morning to my excitement and their laughter. It's still my favorite game of all time. That is an excellent story. And I'll cap it off saying... Or Vivian caps it off saying, my exit strategy, of course, would have been to beat the game and then neatly replace it in the package. Never mind that I didn't have any clue how to wrap a package, much less with my mom's level of skill. Yeah. There is something about a mom's ability to wrap presents that is simply you are unable to match. There's some magic that goes in there that cannot be replicated.
And you know it's probably going to be her who places it under the tree, like, oh, you know, we're going to make it so that everybody's, like, gifts are, like, roughly in the same spot. Like, it's going to be wrapped with care and placed with care. And, like, huh, that's weird. It looks like the, is that white around the, like, is this paper frayed? Ah! Like, sound the alarm. Like, you're going straight to jail. Yeah.
Can I make a confession, guys?
Yes.
So I did a very similar thing with the movie Gattaca during one of my Christmases when I was a kid. That's not a joke. That is an actual story.
Uh-huh. Oh, man. I dug receipts out of the garbage. I never went as far as to unwrap the present, but I got receipts.
I cut open a boxed copy of Half-Life 2 before it was wrapped, got the disc out, installed it, put the disc back in, resealed the box. And then, played it under cover of darkness until I got it for
amazing.
Christmas. Okay.
Did you get away with it?
What's that?
Did you get away with it?
Yeah.
Well, it's crazy too because your birthday is like a month before Christmas too.
I know, right? But the game wasn't out by then, or I did. So I think the game might have been out around that time, but I didn't have the computer to play it. At that, so like this was post getting the computer upgraded in anticipation of getting Half-Life and all of these games for it. So
was the computer upgrade your birthday present?
No, that was something I bought for myself. Because keep in mind, I'm a grown ass man at this point. Like, if this was an Amish community, I would be like, I would have seven
on
kids.
Heroin?
Yeah, I'd be on Rumspringa, and I would be like twitching in a corner on methamphetamine. No, I'm 16 goddamn years old at this time. No, 17. It's 2004. Okay. So
that just means you have the experience to pull this heist off,
I suppose. Oh, one last job. They always call it one last job. So apparently I had enough like wherewithal to save up the money to upgrade our computer so it could play Half-Life 2, but I instead asked for Half-Life 2 for Christmas instead of just buying it myself.
No!
I didn't think things through that well.
Were a grown-ass man, though.
Yeah. I feel like we're all diminished. Okay, so under the lengths that you've gone to sate your game boner, we have betraying the ones who loved you most. So that's gonna be a tough line to top, you guys. A tough one to top. Oh man, Ben, what's Chad say?
Chad says, first, I'm super excited that I might actually meet the deadline for this prompt, which he did.
Yay! Yeah, like with aplomb. It's been like 8 hours. He did good.
Yeah. Second, I have two stories. Star Fox 64 is without a shadow of the doubt my favorite pre-Dark Souls game of all time. By the way, this is like a Dark Souls support group, this podcast.
Dark Souls Eve.
Yeah. Nintendo Power distributed a special mailer for the game, a VHS, trailer detailing the Rumble Pack. Though Hype Machine and its iterations had not entered the lexicon, my perception pegged it at 11. I watched it almost every day until release. I hope my parents still have that tape so I can watch it when I'm in town. I'm sure they will have a VCR.
Because they're parents. Yeah. That's like those VHSs, like everybody who grew up like roughly in that certain time period. I never heard of the Star Fox one, but like the one everybody like has reference to and probably still has lying around is the Donkey Kong Country one. Like, you want to talk about a hype machine. Like, here, have this commercial that you can watch as many times as you want.
I had a Jak and Daxter DVD promoting Jak X Racing.
Promoting that in 2002. Sorry.
Curveball.
But it was billed as the Jak and Daxter movie, and it took the cutscenes from all the previous games and edited them together as a movie, using Daxter to like narrate anything that you couldn't, you know, piece together. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, it was like an hour and a half long, and then it had like a demo for Jak X at the end of it. But that's you don't see those anymore.
Yeah.
Now you just have hour and a half documentaries of how the game was made.
You know, now you just have the entire internet and you can see somebody let's play the entire game before it's like even announced. Have fun. Hey, mystery, what happened to you? Oh, it's like gone forever. Nothing is special anymore. Don't even bother getting out of bed. Ben, what's the second story?
Not a cynical episode at all. So we were only halfway through Chad's comment. So he says, also, because he had two stories. We've only told one. Dark Souls brought me back to gaming with the same level of excitement, albeit in a form of lots of virtual deaths as Star Fox. But I was not aware of the game until a month or so after it had launched. For Dark Souls 2, I've pre-ordered the CE and the Black Armor Edition. Obsessed over shipping times. Am I right, Cole Ross? Pre-ordered the guide as a reference for my many playthroughs. And committed myself to achieving the coveted Platinum Trophy for Dark Souls for PC and Demon Souls.
Ooh.
Now I just need an Estus cocktail recipe.
Oh, that's pretty good. Like, yeah. Just to come up with something. Oh, that might be something I do. Like, come up with, like, hey,
there's a Dark Souls themed bar in Japan. So I'm sure there is an actual Estus cocktail recipe that you can get.
Yeah. Huh. No, I'm just picturing it being like bright green and fizzy. Like how do you achieve that? Huh.
Creme de menthe.
Yeah.
Tonic water.
Creme de menthe, tonic water, and apple pucker. And then you just immediately go to the hospital.
So, but in your guys' imaginations, does Estus taste good or bad?
That's a favorite. So,
well, I think in the spirit of Dark Souls, the drink needs to kill you. So.
Yeah.
Creme de menthe, apple pucker, tonic water, and arsenic.
So you have to drink a lot of it. Like, that's roughly the size of a medium to large vase is the flask is. Mm-hmm. So I'm picturing it's like, mm-hmm, if you're drinking that radioactive dye. You know, it's like, you just have to do it. Like, it's like, why do I have to drink so much of this fucking dye? It's got like little marbles inside of it. Oh, Dennis, how about, mm-hmm, you, game boners?
Yeah, I think so. I was going to say Uncharted 3 until Vivian reminded me of the game boner that I stoked as a kid for Spyro, the original Spyro game. Hmm. And it was because I actually got the game lent to me from a friend before I owned a PlayStation. Mm-hmm. And this was another, like, I was going to get it for my birthday. And I got the game like 2 months before. And so I had the manual memorized and just paged through it again and again and again. You know, I probably read that thing 60 times before I actually got the game. And the one thing I remember, just the biggest payoff, was the first time that I charged into a wall and the controller rumbled. I did not know that was a thing. And so I like jumped out of it. I was like, oh,
there's a ghost.
Oh, guys, come here. Like, it was just like the most, you know, unbelievable level of excitement. And this game is so futuristic and amazing. It's even more than I could imagine was packaged down to a little rumble. So that's the one that I was reminded of. I also, for for Uncharted 3, that's the only game I've ever pre-ordered, and it's the only game that I intentionally cleared my schedule to play, and it's the only game where I went back and played Uncharted 2 again, or so played the prequel in advance to get myself hyped for the next one. And then, of course, Uncharted 3 was a total letdown compared to the level of hype.
That's what I was going to say. That turned out to be a bad decision in hindsight, because then you remembered how awesome Uncharted 2 was.
Yeah. Right. And then you know, so I played Uncharted 2, which is the best game in the series, and then I read all the reviews. It's like, 10! Marketers, 10! It's totally in the back pocket of the industry.
Yeah, no, it's a shame.
And then I got the game, and it just never could live up to that level of hype.
Yep. But look at the water, Dennis. Look at the water.
Yeah. That was Uncharted 1.
Ugh. Look at the set pieces, Dennis. Look at the set pieces.
Yeah. So if Chad can have two, then I get two.
Look at these weird fucking horses. So. Yeah. let's just keep going. So Quentin says, I remember I went nuts when Halo 2 was coming out. I had already read the novels, had the soundtrack CDs, and beat the first game on Legendary several times. We even watched the gameplay demos over and over. The day before /of the midnight release, me and my friend played through the whole game again and went straight to the mall, which had the GameStop roped off from the food court with mall cops surrounding us to keep us from running into the large, abandoned halls, Dawn of the Dead style.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's I remember the Halo 2 launch well. I did have a game boner stoked for that, and I remember I was like helping out at like a family friend's wedding, and my GameStop, everybody who was involved in this is no longer with the company, or they were fired long ago, so it's not that huge of a thing. Like the shipment was there like a week in advance, and then like the assistant manager was like, yeah, you know, you guys can take this out if you want. I was like, really? Okay. I was like, who can I hitch a ride back here with? back to get this thing. So like I played Halo 2 like 5 days before the rest of my group did.
Nice.
Yeah. So like by the time the midnight launch came around, I was like, oh, this is just a shitty thing I have to work. And then that's what every midnight launch became. Yeah. But that's weird because like I can picture that exact moment where you're having the mall cops right there, because if you're in the Eastern time zone, we were probably doing that at roughly the same time, looking up at the same moon, thinking that one day one of us would make a podcast and the other would be listening to it. And it was just that one coin flip, Quentin. It was just that one coin flip that decided which way that was going to go. But in the end, we both had Halo 2.
The unintentional poetry of the Duckfeed Network.
Yeah. Oh man, I forget who goes after me. Dennis, what's Joseph say?
Yeah, Joseph says, in a completely surprising turn of events, definitely Dark Souls.
It's like it's on people's mind or something.
Yeah, it's like we're coming up on the launch or something. I pre-ordered it last May to quell my anticipation. I've been playing Dark Souls and Demon Souls nonstop.
Yeah,
that's a good way to pass your time. Cole, have you been? I mean, you obviously went through Kingsfield. Have you gone back and played any of Dark Souls and Demon Souls in prep, or are you going into it fresh?
I mean, how fresh can it be? Like, I don't know. I feel like I know everything I need to know about both Dark Souls and Demon Souls by now. To like, yeah, and that's not coming from like a place of arrogance. It's just a matter of like, yep, you know what? I feel like going back and doing this. It's like doing the rosary or something. There are no surprises, right? And so for me, it's just like I'd rather like walk into it with walk into Dark Souls 2 with just a little bit more wonderment left, you know, in the matter. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but I have not done that. However, I can understand other people who are.
Cool.
Yeah. Let's see here. I'll do mine real quick before I round us out with Michael, just because his is long and it's pretty funny. Let's see here. So mine would probably, like, there are a bunch of them. Like, I remember back before like games really had release dates, and you would just like read the reviews in EGM maybe like 2 months out before your local Babbage's or whatever got the game. Like,
yep.
Two in particular, and I believe I've talked about these multiple times before, but Mega Man Legends and Pokemon Snap, I was just a fucking menace to that Babbage's, like calling every single day around the time when I knew they got their shipments, saying, hey, is my pre-order in on this? And they said, no, we'll call you. I was like, well, you guys didn't call me before, blah, blah, blah. I just didn't trust them to do it. And so, like, for both of them, and, you know, I'm roughly like 10 years old at this point, right? And so, like maximum Pokemon, maximum Mega Man Legends, like all the time. Well, the one that was actually like made an event for, and the one, like, if I was to point to, like, that is how, like, I anticipate a game, like Rock Band, like, for sure, you know, because,
oh yeah,
because that came out on my birthday. Like, I made sure I was working the midnight so I would get it, so I'd get it first, right? And, like, I came home, I played it all night, like, carrying that massive box through Clifton, because I had to park like four blocks away. You know, like, getting it set up and playing it, and, like, having people over to play it, and, like, just, like, couldn't drink then, but totally was drinking, you know, just because that's what you do. And so, like, buying Mass Effect at the same time, because fuck it, it's my birthday, right? and so it was like, wow, chill.
That's a good spate of games right there.
Yeah, it is. Like both on the same day, both on my birthday. What's up? Life is awesome. So like that was pretty good. And like, so if we're talking about lengths, here's a story that I think I've told. Like about 2-3 weeks before it was like around Halloween time, I remember we were carving pumpkins, and the Guitar Hero 3 demo came out. And I was like, I downloaded it. I was playing like Tenacious D's The Metal or something like that. And my Xbox red ringed. And I'm thinking, am I going to have to buy a fucking Xbox so I can play Rock Band? Because I'm not sure if they RMA this, if it's going to get back in time. So like, what's it going to be then, eh? And luckily it came like the day before, you know, brand new Xbox that probably died like 2 months later. But yeah, but that was a harrowing 3 weeks of my life that ultimately worked out for the better.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the whole thing, you know, bringing it home. There is a real magical period when you weren't driving yourself, when you bought the game from the store, and when you're being driven home to play the game, where you know, you could rifle through the manual and look at the cover art, and you kind of lose that once you're transporting yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just sitting there we're assuming the games ever still have manuals now, but yeah.
You always got that new game smell though.
Yeah. that wears off once you realize that like what you're probably smelling is like the chemicals that the disc was treated with, probably a little bit of formaldehyde, and then like if you're extra special lucky and it's like a special edition, maybe some weed from the person who packed it with care and with his own two hands. Yeah, that is a spell. It is associated with new games. I'm sorry to be a bummer. Like the Skype demon has taken over me. It's taken me over.
We're allowed to have an angry episode. This is like the one out of 53. We're allowed to
one out of 53.
Be full of piss and vinegar.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys get it 106. Let's see. We're gonna finish this out with Michael. Via Facebook, who says, I was illegally imprisoned without charges for 30 years on suspicion of espionage, with only an exceedingly grimy Atari Lynx and the occasional trip to the prison's robotic pizza arcade to tide me over. My successful escape from the facility in 2002, the first in history, allowed me to attend the black market launch of Crash Bandicoot 2, Cortex Strikes Back, at an underworld fishmonger. Although I was caught 36 hours later, slumped over a noisily decorated refrigerator box after completing my third playthrough on the PlayStation, I had surreptitiously wired into the back of a coin-operated miniature television. Shortly after, the prison was shut down, converted into a theme park, and I was moved to another facility. Several years later, I was given the opportunity to help a bookish but crazy-eyed chemical weapons specialist from the FBI break back into that prison in order to forestall a terrorist attack by ex-military thugs who were angry about capital gains tax or Wyoming or something. In exchange
Definitely
for helping...
Wyoming.
Yeah. in exchange for helping this unconvincingly nebbish fellow navigate a series of elaborate and hilarious traps, I would be released just in time for the launch of Fable 3. Needless to say, I was turgid with excitement. And also, at the very end, right before the credits, you found the microfiche showing who killed JFK in the leg of a chair, in the leg of a church pew. Boom.
All this for Fable 3, which is going to be a severe disappointment. After playing Fable 3, I asked them to put me back in prison.
Yeah. But it was real cool when you like timed out running through that fire hallway, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially the way it was a replication of the Crash Bandicoot level. Very, very interesting.
Yeah, Sean Connery. I'm just trying to figure out if you know what he's referencing, Dennis.
No, I have no idea what he's referencing.
He basically just told us the plot of The Rock. So
what?
Yeah.
That was not coming to a theme park.
Well, no, it's a tourist attraction.
Yeah,
see? It's just enough degrees off. Just...
I've seen The Rock 2. I should know better.
the Rock 2, the re-rocketing.
No, The Rock 2, a machine for pigs.
Oh, you got me. You got me. So Michael continues. In all seriousness, I was really excited for Majora's Mask when I was in middle school. My family was without any surplus means, so I tended to play games at friends' houses throughout most of my childhood. For this reason, I didn't get to play a lot of lengthy single-player experiences. When I was 12-ish, there was a guy in college who let my friend and I hang out and play video games in his apartment. Sounds sketchier than it was, trust me. I was about to say, what kind of like college dudes hanging out with 12-year-olds? Come on. One of the games he had was Zelda Ocarina of Time, and I remember getting up really early on Saturday mornings, letting myself into his flat, and playing it for hours until somebody wanted to watch sports ball or Bible chat or something. When Majora's Mask came out, my friend and I pooled our meager savings and bought the game. This guy was away visiting his family for the week, so we were a couple of little asshats and let ourselves in, not through the now locked door, but by taking the screen off of his bedroom window, sliding it open, and basically playing the shit out of the game for a few days on our own. It was a terrible way to take advantage of his hospitality, but we fessed up when he came back and made amends. In any case, it was a reprieve from the from crazy home times for both of us, so I looked back on it with a kind of fond embarrassment. Sorry, I know it's late, I just wanted to contribute. Regardless of Ruby, you know, blah, blah. Yeah, no, I'm happy because somebody else was excited about Majora's Mask, which apparently doesn't happen. Like, apparently people don't like that game, and it's like just heartbreaking to me. Yeah,
can I do a segue shout out?
Yeah,
or like something this reminded me of when we were in Turner together. I took advantage of the hospitality of Michael Cullum and Nick Bikus and played the entire Zelda.
Ocarina of Time?
Twilight Princess. Yeah,
yeah,
Twilight
that's Princess. The one. I beat the entire thing in their dorm room as their RA, which is like a 50-hour game. So thanks for that, guys.
I'm gonna have to confiscate this. I think it has weed booze in it. What? Weed booze? Yeah. Did he just close the door?
Hey, Ben, Ben, it's late. Are you going to be wrapping up anytime soon?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Seriously.
Some beer I see in the corner.
It was sadly like that.
We're
entire days. Yeah.
That is funny. Huh.
Also, we need to have David read the first part of Michael's post when he's back on the show, because that that feels custom made for David.
Yes, it does. So thank you everybody for writing into that. I was happy we were able to give it all of the time that we did, because there's some good stuff in there, and I think that as we are all waiting on the edge of this old era with bated breath for the new era that is about to come next week, you know, it is nice to look back and reflect, and sometimes look to right now and say, this is the most excited we've ever been. So if you want to participate in that, that is facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. Prompts usually go up sometime on Tuesday, usually like in the afternoon, and you know, we record then, blah. guys want to talk about what we've been playing? Have you given a single moment's thought to my responsibilities?
The Grime.
Now it's time for The Grime, where we talk about the things that we've been playing. Damn it. Does anybody want to volunteer to go first?
I'll volunteer. I've got two short things I can get out of the way.
Okay, cool.
As long as you're okay with that, Ben. You sound a little hesitant.
Go for it.
All right, cool. First off, I bought the expansion pack for the Star Wars pinball game.
Oh yeah.
Which I'd gotten free through Vita or mm-hmm. through PlayStation Plus. And so this marks the first time where I'm choosing to give additional money on top of the base amount per month, I guess.
Yeah.
But it doubles the number of tables, so you get three extra tables. There is one that is themed after Episode 6. There is one that is like you know, Starfighter Assault, so it's like X-Wings and TIE Fighters and stuff. And then the final one is themed after Darth Vader. And the second two, the second and third two, the latter two, the Starfighter Assault and the Darth Vader table are really, really good. The Episode 6 one is kind of a bust. But the other two tables are good enough that I feel it totally justifies the extra investment. Mm-hmm. Specifically, the Starfighter Assault table is really, really cool because it's a pinball table, but it's got like a fleet building / RPG aspect to it.
That's crazy.
And yeah, and it's really, I don't know exactly what all the mechanics are behind it, but as you know, complete different actions, you can build credits and build your fleet. And then by activating a certain mode, you can spend those credits to upgrade your fleet, which will then have different advantages as you try to complete more difficult missions, which is really, really cool. It also is a great example of kind of making the most of the fact that it is a virtual pinball table, because mm-hmm. when you activate certain modes, they will have actual like battles between starfighters going on above the table as you're playing, and it lends itself to this great feeling of chaos, you know, because you might be trying to shoot a ramp to turn on the turrets to support your starfighters, and you can actually look and see the starfighters flying above, and you're hearing like, you know, we need turrets now, you know, split us, get down out of the way, we need turrets, where's our support, blah blah. And it adds to the intensity in a cool way that you could not do unless it was a digital environment.
Yeah, that's a crazy metaphor that's a crazy metaphor to lay over pinball.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Hmm.
Yeah. So if pinball is your thing, I mean, I've raved about this, just the base tables before. Definitely check it out, and the expansion is worth it. If not just for that one table, that's totally awesome.
So you mentioned a table themed off of Darth Vader, and I only bring this up because mm-hmm. I'm looking at a picture of it right now. I clicked away from our Facebook page. So somebody that I work with, he's an illustrator, one of the most talented artists I've ever had the fortune to know, let alone work with. He has one hand, and just in the past like month or two, he's gotten a new prosthetic, which is a jet black rubber coated robotic hand that responds to his neural inputs.
Nice.
And it makes a noises. And so he gets it.
That is amazing.
And he did assets for one of the videos that I worked on. And I'm listening to the sounds. I'm like, "Oh, like these robot noises that I'm hearing in this video, because it's a video about robots. They sound really good." I asked the sound guy, like, you know, we're like what do you source on that? Because I'm always curious about where they get that. You can never tell if it's Foley or what they're going. Like, yeah, we just like totally got this illustrator up here and just mic'd his like sound, or mic'd his hand for the.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So you're talking, it is his right hand. It is the most Darth Vader ass looking hand I've ever seen, and it is like just the best.
Nice. Oh. That's really cool.
And I'm looking at a picture of it disassembled and like being worked on with a screwdriver, and it looks like Luke having. I'm sorry. It's so yeah. No.
You might want to practice with a hot dog, buddy.
What?
Oh, you haven't seen the robot chicken Star Wars?
No.
When Luke gets his new hand, the doctor finishes fixing it and then says, "You might want to practice on a hot dog, buddy."
You're talking about masturbation. Okay. Hey, cross the finish line. High five there, buddy. So, oh man, what's the second one?
I've also been playing Remember Me, which is again PlayStation Plus because that's all I ever do anymore. I might as well have their logo tattooed on my forehead.
If they keep giving you enough free games to play, like I don't know that anybody could blame you for that. I mean, I could because you're hurting the show. We're weaker as a unit because of you. But okay.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye. So it's actually, if I remember correctly, it was critically panned, and for good reason, because the game is super unfinished, and there's a lot of things that just, like, for example, there is no mouth animation on the majority of characters.
Yeah.
So they like very carefully construct their cutscenes so that the people are never looking at the camera when they're talking because their mouths don't move. And when the people do, you know, there's like one or two characters where they made the investment and everyone else is just a Ken doll.
Oh, either commit or don't. Like, could you imagine Metal Gear Solid if only like Snake's mouth moved and everybody else was just a crazy no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but
no, it's an apt comparison. So there's a lot of stuff like that where, yeah, it's like, man, you guys must have run out of money and time, or like, you know, if this game had another, you know, 6 months, it would have been so much better. So there's a lot of just broken stuff. I couldn't recommend that you go buy this game. But the idea behind it is really, really interesting, and some of the mechanics are really cool. So it's basically like everything is Inception. Is the concept of the game. Like, everyone's got a little computer in the back of their head that stores their memories and allows them to have, like, you know, interfaces with the things around the world. And because of that, it's super easy, certain people can hack memories. And that's who you are. Only when you start the game, trope, your memory has just been erased. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool in premise. The two unique things the game does mechanically is one, the whole memory hacks. And I've only come across one of these so far. And I don't want to judge it too much until I've experienced more than one of them. But the idea is that you basically watch someone's memory. And so it's like a cutscene, but then you can rewind and fast forward back through this cutscene and change things at certain points to kind of change the way they remember things. And then based on what you change, the cutscene will play out differently, and you try to change the right sequence of things to, you know, have them remember what you want them to remember. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel bad about it. This is a very minor spoiler. But the first one, for example, a bounty hunter comes to take you in, essentially, and you change her memory so that she thinks she's coming to help you.
Right.
And, like, to defect to your side, essentially. And so that's a really cool idea. The problem is that it's not necessarily fun, which, you know, and again, I can't put my finger on exactly what it is. I think the problem is that it's just a little too obtuse what the exact changes, what effect they will have. So it's like, oh, hey, I see because this icon popped up that I can change this spot in the memory. But really, I don't have any context for what that will do other than changing it, watching how it plays out, and then deciding whether or not I want to keep it. So it feels less like a puzzle and more like just pure trial and error.
Yeah,
but a really cool idea nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. And it looked neat too.
Oh, go ahead.
It looked like it was building an interesting world, right?
Yeah, and it would be an interesting world, but it all just blends into generic sci-fi. Like I think the story is super bad. it does not flow well. It's not clear why you're doing. And the concept of, hey, a world where you could access people's memories like you would a flash drive has a whole bunch of really cool implications. Mm-hmm. But I think we talked a couple of weeks back about how so many times in video games, the idea of what's going on is so much cooler than the actual execution.
Yeah.
And that's the case here. The other thing that makes the game really unique is the combo system, which allows you to modify every single attack combo that you have in the game. And the way that works is that the button presses stay the same, but you select what effect each button press will have. So there's like your basic damage slot. And so, you know, you can have all the attacks just do basic damage. But then there's also a certain attack that will do less damage but will regenerate your health. And there's an attack that will basically speed up the cooldown timer for your special abilities. And based on where you put them in the combo, they get more powerful the later they are in a combo. And the idea is you have complete control over what effect goes where. And it works fairly well. It creates these really cool risk-reward situations where, for example, I had a combo where I put a healing a slot at the very, very end, which meant that if I could get to it, it would give me a huge health boost. But that meant I had to pull off the full combo to get the benefit. And so I hadn't thought it through. I put that as my healing thing. I was like, oh, it's good. I'll put it at the end because I want the most healing. But then I would get myself in trouble and not be able to pull off the full combo and die. So I had to move it earlier in the combo. So it's a bunch of interesting stuff like that. They also make it so that you can interrupt your combo with a dodge at any point and continue the combo after the dodge. So it's a really, really in-depth and cool situation that they got going on.
Yeah. That almost makes it sound like Tony Hawk-like, like how you can customize like which combinations do which trick in order to kind of like maximize your loadout. And like knowing like, okay, I'm going to repeat this one, you know, so often, and just like mapping whichever ones, like that has less effect. So like whether you do a kick flick McRib or an ollie oxen free, like it's really just a matter of like what point you get. Like there's a little bit less strategy to it, but like the idea of putting like assigning your own combos to that and making it flexible actually is kind of cool.
Yeah, and the actual combo building part of it works really well, but I'll come back around to the same complaint that I had before, which is it doesn't make the game more fun.
Yeah.
Like, and maybe it's just because it's not difficult enough that I really, really have to strategize with how I'm laying out my combos, but it often devolves into button mashing, and I'll realize halfway through a fight that I'm not actually doing combos. I'm just, you know, mashing buttons and doing the basic attack each time.
Yeah.
There's some other cool ideas, like they have enemies that you can only see when they're in the light, so you have to, you know, play around with turning on spotlights at the right time to get them and stuff like that. But like I said, I couldn't recommend that you go buy this game, but just as a curiosity and as something with cool concepts, it's pretty interesting. I would say I look forward to Remember Me Too, but and that's TOO for anyone who's wondering. I doubt that's actually going to get made, though.
Wait, so you're not actually referring to an actual thing? You're what?
No, like if they were able to take the ideas from the game that exists and pour that into a sequel where they're able to like refine it and make it better.
So you're just pitching a title, is what you're doing?
I'm pitching Remember Me Too.
Yeah, too, as well. Remember Me Also.
So Remember Me Also. That's
a really weird way to say
Remember
that.
Me Not. Yeah,
cool. Isn't that what Job uses? Like those are that's just roof and all. No. So, I'm sad at like what Capcom is now. Like this is weird because like I looked at that, like I was pretty excited about Remember Me when it came out. I was like, oh, I can put that off because I just have so much happening right now. You know, if I'm a mover and shaker, but I don't know. Like, I don't see like a lot. I'm looking at their docket for stuff that's coming up, and it's like, it's everything on modern consoles is like Monster Hunter and Street Fighter, and I understand that like that is where they make their money, is Monster Hunter and Street Fighter, but like a bunch of my favorite games like ever were made by Capcom, and to hear that like when they take that chance, it's actually not delivering on it is real like bummy outy for me. But
yeah, it is kind of sad. It's bittersweet to play it and just say, oh, this could have been really cool.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where it's at. Did they, I forget, were they involved with the most recent DMC, or was that totally farmed out to Ninja Theory?
I think that it was like mostly farmed out to Ninja Theory.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Let's see.
They're listed as publishers, so they just published it. Like the okay. development was just Ninja Theory, and then there was a company that localized it for PC. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Huh. Essentially, that's what's on my docket.
Okay, Ben, how about you?
Yeah. So I don't have as much of what I've been playing as much as what I'm going to play right after this podcast. But
hey, we're talking. Picked up. Good.
Yeah.
What did you say? No, as I was saying, I was going to add nothing by saying we talked about this before we recorded. So.
Yeah. One of the reasons I was partially late to the podcast was I was out scouring for the Stick of Truth, which came out today.
Oh, all right. Software
game. Yeah. So
it
just needs to top the N64 South Park, which is an easy task.
Oh, so you just mean doesn't make you the most motion sick you've ever been?
it just needs to be like a functional game, and then it'll do better. So
okay, cool.
Ben, what's your history with South Park? Would you consider yourself a fan of the shows? What brought you to the game?
Well, I do very much appreciate the writing of South Park. I do really like Trey Parker and Matt Stone. I think they are very insightful in their humor. That said. Like half of South Park is that, and half of it is like dick and fart jokes. But you know, I don't mind that necessarily. So,
yeah,
gotcha. So I would maybe because I saw this as a game and was like, oh, that looks like it's a pretty good game. And then I'm familiar with South Park, so yeah, I don't know that I would get all the in jokes for it. But did you come to this primarily because of South Park, or did you come because you wanted a good RPG to play?
So I watched like the first 10 or 15 minutes of the game, I think a couple weeks ago, and that's pretty much what sold me on it.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And so hopefully this is not a spoiler since it's in the first few minutes of the game. So of the classes you can choose to be, it's like you can be a warrior, a mage, there's something else, and then the fourth class is the Jew. And so it seems like, even though I'm not trying to make light of I don't know,
casual anti-Semitism?
Yeah, exactly. It's nice that the game is nailing the tone of the show.
Yeah,
you know,
which is a joke from one of the episodes where Kyle was a paladin, but Cartman just said you're the Jew, and so like the, like the Jew class in this is just the paladin. So
yeah.
Why do I know this?
That's fine. I know that you know, no matter what name you put in for your character, Cartman will refer to you as douchebag. So
yeah.
It's because you need a nickname.
Yeah,
that's classic Obsidian. There, yeah. You know.
Hey, yeah. It's Obsidian, right? Like, yeah, you know, it is a that's full, right. Like a full blown, like that is what Obsidian does, and like when they're doing really good stuff, is developing under somebody else's IP, right?
Yeah. Cool. Alpha Protocol was good too.
Oh yeah, no, but like they were developing with Chris Avalon. Like, how can you go wrong with Chris Avalon? Like on Doc, like you can't. So
weird.
But yeah. I'm kind of excited to hear what you think about it. It's getting yeah. Like I kind of, because it was in development hell for so long, like for years and years. And when what was that publisher? When THQ went out of business, people were like, okay, so what's going to happen with this? Like I pretty much gave it up and like stopped being excited about it, just because, you know, there's no sense being excited about something that's never going to come out. But like seeing how well it is reviewing, like some site, like Giant Bomb gave it like a perfect, which is crazy.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah.
This is one of the few games that I've gotten without like researching reviews of it beforehand. I just had heard enough to know that people have been saying it's good, but yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Rolling the dice on this.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it for it doesn't matter at all, but it Metacritic's at about 74, which is fine. Which is fine. Mm-hmm. So
actually I think it's in the 80s on Metacritic, because I looked it up because somebody at work today said it was in the 90s, which is not true. But
yeah. I wasn't even seeking this out, but I just saw like a post on Joystick that was like, you know, here's our meta review of like, you know, here's our score and here's what everybody else is kind of saying about it. And that's where I saw like that people were just kind of going nuts with it.
Huh. It is an 86 on Metacritic as of now.
Weird. You know what? I think that I'm looking I'm just looking at Obsidian in general, which is at a 74. So, hey, they beat the curb.
There you go.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Cool. Dennis, can you talk into your microphone? Also, is there anything else that you have been?
I also have like a couple weeks left of my PlayStation Plus month trial. Because I know Dennis, you had messaged me before asking if I had seen the lineup. Unfortunately, I've played most of what's on the lineup. Tomb Raider, I've already played. I forget what the other ones were.
Thomas Was Alone.
That's the one I haven't played. So that is something that I do need to sit down and play, because it's not a long game, I believe.
No, not long at all.
And I've heard you guys talk about it, and yeah. I have not played it yet, so I will probably play that sometime this week. So,
yeah. Cool. Yeah.
That's about it, though.
Yeah,
I've been unproductive.
Bunch of gonna plays. Well, I mean, you don't have to say that.
I've been unproductive in video games. Let me rephrase that
for our purposes,
which means I've been productive in other things.
Yeah, yeah. No, so sometimes there's other stuff happening. You know, there is no shame in that. Let's see here.
Just like there are many different forms of intelligence, there's many different forms of productivity.
I don't know.
I know we all think about it in terms of video games primarily, but we need to acknowledge that there's other types out there.
Yeah. No, like not everybody's like me where it's like, huh, so what have you played? Oh, nothing, except for maybe this 15 hours of Deadly Premonition over 4 days. So I have been playing, but it is not for us to say. Although I will say, holy shit, Deadly Premonition, like, if ever there was something like this, you have to cherish this. You have to look for those things that feel like they were made specifically for you, even in all of its contentious, like most of the time, not fun to play, just like weirdness and confrontationalness, like the things that it is referencing, and just the sheer joy with which it leaps at, like just fucking with your head. And just like the superfluous systems, like, oh my gosh, it is like this is a coal ass game, like this hole was made for me, it belongs to me.
Now, is that a wolf or a wolf?
You know, there's no real distinction. We do so we call it the Wolf Initiative, the Wolf Initiative, which is part of WAF Industries. But that is technically one of our four modern games this year, which is good because after this run of shows is up, then like other stuff that came out around that time is going to be like fair game for our little heuristic that we use to choose games by. So,
what does Wolf stand for?
Watch out for Lens Flare, which is our modern games initiative. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Not
a J.J. Abrams fan club.
Nope. I don't get the reference. And I will not attempt to either.
It's simple. J.J. Abrams uses lens flare.
Oh, okay, cool. There we are. Thank you for helping me. We all learn. We all learn when we help each other.
Shortest distance between two points.
A simple explanation.
Occam's thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Occam's razor. Yes.
Occam's lens flare.
Before I get into the one game I've kind of been dipping my toes into, I want to give an update on my PC.
I saw a tweet.
Yes. So even though it's been 10 years since I have reached inside of the, that's not actually the case, but 10 years since I've built a PC in earnest, I got it to post on the first try.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What's posting?
It's just a term for like when you press the power button, when you press the power on button, something happens. because it is totally possible when you're building this thing that you could fry apart, or you could like get something, you know, just not seated right. It's a huge big hassle, and you're saving yourself like half of the cost of building this machine. So like it makes sense to do it yourself. But that first moment when you plug it in and power it on is fraught. It is terrifying. But I got it to turn on, and I was promptly met with the ordeal of working with Windows. Literally, you guys, I've used it every day. Every day it's been like, there are 63 updates that you need to install. What?
You haven't used Windows in 10 years. You will pay.
I mean, I guess, but like, come on. Like, every time. Like when I'm sitting down, like recording games, which it does it great, like recording 720p off of like my little Elgato machine, like as I'm playing, you know, Deadly Premonition, like it does it like a champ. But when I go back and I check and see that, like, oh, this machine is about ready to like restart in the middle of recording because, like, oh, well, there's an update to install, so I'm gonna have to just don't like restart my machine. Don't do that. Don't do that without me saying yes. Well, you didn't have any input for 15 minutes because stuff was happening. Yeah. God, so angry. Ugh.
I want to meet the person who made that design decision.
Yeah.
And just tear them limb from limb.
And this isn't
what
me being
were
like
you thinking.
This isn't me being shitty, because like anytime you say something like, oh, I like using a Mac, Windows, you know, doesn't make sense to me, like that is seen as like a vaguely political statement or an outright political statement, and people jump on it and say, blah, you snob, blah, whatever. But that is a stupid decision to just be like, okay, like, we're going to give you 10 minutes to, like, not have this restart.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But that aside, like, when you just, it works great. Like, the specs on this thing, oh, my God. Like, so it came with a free copy of Assassin's Creed 4, which is kind of the most, like, technically demanding game I could throw at it. Like, running it on the highest settings at, like, a buttery smooth frame rate. Like,
nice.
And when I say highest settings, I mean like better than like PS4.
Would you say Dead Assassin?
No, I wouldn't say that, Dennis. You know me better than that. Come on.
Just give me it.
I can't. If I give you this one, what's waiting behind it? I'm saving you from you.
Slippery slope fallacy.
Damn it. Fallacy. But it's
so
great.
Have you been playing Assassin's Creed 4?
I did like the multiplayer tutorial. It's super goofy because I guess I didn't do the single player because I haven't played Assassin's Creed 3 yet. I don't want any let's see here, story spoilers on that.
Spoiler alert, it's a terrible game.
I would just want to put it on easy and get through it. I'm kind of invested in what happens because I've played a bunch of these games before. But I did the multiplayer, and the multiplayer has a story, which is that Abstergo, the company that does the Animus, is Ubisoft. And like
what
the explanation that they give is like, you know, we're here with the newest Animus system, and like it is a dude like with a headset talking into the camera like he's on G4, or in a more modern reference, like I don't even know what else, but like it's like somebody giving like a walkthrough on a video, like an overexcited dude in a polo shirt saying, yeah, we've added so many new levels and blah blah blah, so like the Animus is now an entertainment product and they're walking you through it. So that's crazy. And I'm curious if that extends over to the single player, but like I kind of dig it just because it is meta enough. But
it's Dark Tower enough.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, I mean, like I said, meta enough. But yeah, no, it looks amazing. Holy shit. And it, like, records nice, and just, oh man, it's so great. It fits right underneath my TV. Like, just it's like a big black, it's a black box that sits under my TV that plays games better than a PlayStation 4 would, and it can record everything that I do. not like, you know, like nice. Around the house, but like when I say, hey, record this, it's like right there. So that's good.
No, that would be Xbox One.
Yes, yeah. It would. You know, with the NSA, like straight up plugging into that shit. Oh my God, you guys, I am so scared. So I didn't mean to talk about Assassin's Creed 4, but here we are. But the truth of the matter is, when I am booting into Steam Big Picture mode, everything is A-okay. As less I have to deal with the operating system on this machine, the better. But yeah, it is neat, nice. And so I'm working on getting like all of my stuff over onto it. And you know, I'm playing it with like controllers, so there's some stuff that's like, okay, I'm going to need my keyboard to play this, and that'll be on my, you know, MacBook in my actual like office. But anything that can be played with the controller is played over there in the living room, as it should be. Yeah. So
that's good. I'm glad it worked out.
Me too. Otherwise, I would have wasted $1,000, which like is super. Like that is super cheap for a gaming PC. Like I don't know how I spec. Like I put a lot of time into specking it out, and you know how long have I been talking about doing it, right? But like I less than $1,000 to do this. So. I hate talking about money. Like, I feel mortified that I even brought that up. But, like, it's pretty reasonable. Like, if you're making, like, a dedicated machine for this, to, like, actually have it. Huh. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So, thinking about, like, actual games that I have played, you know, if you're listening to this yesterday, the episode of Watch Out for Fireballs about Link to the Past just went live. Hint, it is an amazing game that everybody should play because it is absolutely perfect. Like, you guys have played it, right? Have you?
I have not. Zelda's okay. Another one of those blind spots.
Yeah, Nintendo in general, I think, for you, we've established. Yeah. Ben, how about you? I know that you're a Zeldite.
I have not played A Link to the Past.
Wow. So I don't say this by way of chastising you and being like, oh, dude, how can you live? But, like, I think that if you, you know, just fired up an emulator or something... and went back and tried it out, like it actually would be a very like educational experience, especially Ben, with you coming at like the later games
I'll play it if you watch The Wire.
Okay, I've been meaning to for a while, so I just have to dig up my old files. Well, how much will it take to get you to start?
You got to get through season one and I'll start playing.
Okay.
Oh, that's a high bar for entry.
Not really.
Well, there's five seasons, and if I know that if he gets through season one, he will get through season five.
Hmm. Even when they own the docks?
Even what?
Sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. When it kind of takes a dive there. I know. Don't worry.
Well, you know.
That's a relative dive. Yeah. You know, see like a
whatever.
Breaking Bad.
Don't get me started.
Like a Breaking Bad season 3 dive. Yeah.
I like season 3 so far.
Yeah, it's okay.
Season 3 is good.
Is it?
Season 1 and 2 are the dive parts of Breaking Bad.
The end of season 2 is so stupid.
Yeah, it is. That might be what I'm thinking of is the end of season 2. Huh. It's been a while since I've done like a rewatch. Just like season 4 is where like shit gets live. So I see that as being like the like when it happens. So let me look here. Let me think here. So in relation to that, I remember talking about it a while back that I just bought a Link Between Worlds and just have had it sitting on my nightstand shrink wrapped for going on 4 months now. So it's like, you know, I might as well now that I have played, A Link to the Past, let me fire this up. Holy shit, you guys, it is really good. Nice. So me saying this and you guys having not played it, it's going to be really hard.
Can you clarify this for me?
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Not to interrupt you. I had a clarifying question.
No, go ahead.
Is it a sequel to A Link to the Past? Is it a remake of The Link to the Past, or what? How does it fit in?
I thought that it was going to be more of a direct sequel than it is, and it might end up being like a direct sequel, you know, but it is a sequel. It is as much of a sequel or more of a sequel than any Zelda game has been since like Zelda 2 to Zelda 1. because Link to the Past, when they were like, it was when they were like, okay, let's make this a prequel to everything that happened. And then, oh, well, all right, Wind Waker takes place before that. Like, before, the, like this is, it is as Final Fantasy X-2 is to Final Fantasy X-1, although I'm not sure it's still the same Link.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, it's still like the top-down presentation. I haven't played either of the previous DS Zeldas, so like the 3D interpretations of 2D Zelda play, like either the Phantom Hourglass or the Phantom Pain or the Spirit Tracks or Spirited Away. I haven't done any of those. But this one, it looks like a very lovingly recreated Link to the Past world, down to the world map even. But they've changed it just enough, and like some of the dungeons that I'm going to are the same, and some are in the same locations, and some of them are different. I haven't gotten to phase back and forth between the light and dark world yet, but that is totally a thing that is going to happen. And I know that that is the case, and it controls really, really well, and it looks great. It's snappy. I was worried that it was going to be like sluggish because it's in 3D, but it's like super light and super snappy, and you know it changes the formula enough to like to update it. So like, you know, when you swing, it's not just like the one sided arc. It like hits everything in front of you, and the like when you charge up a spin attack, like it actually shows you the radius that it's going to hit around you. It's not tied to a grid like older Zelda games are, and yeah, it's just like super, super breezy. I'm not as put off by the item rental as I thought I was going to be, just because when you look at a Zelda game, you think every dungeon is going to have an item that is like attached to it, and I know that I'm going to have everything that I need going into it to get that item and then finish it out. And, you know, instead of that, you actually have like this little guy who rents you items. And you have a certain amount of energy on them, and you recharge that by moving. And if you die, you have to re-rent them, or you can just straight up buy them. But that hasn't been necessary yet. And kind of the gimmick of this, because every Zelda game has to have a gimmick. Even Link to the Past had the whole world switching thing, which was a gimmick for its time. But the idea that, you know, like the guy that you're fighting, at least as of right now, his whole deal is that he turns people into paintings. Like, so, like, somebody will be standing there fighting him, he'll blast them, and then they'll turn into, like, a mural on the wall. He hits Link, but he has a special, like, bracelet on. This is, like, the first hour of play. What that does is gives you the ability to walk up to a wall and turn yourself into a painting on it and walk along it. So there are, like, these little holes, and you, like, wrap around. So that's a way to get from, like, room to room or, like, to the outside of towers or to cross over pits. And so it takes this, this, you know, 2D game space that you're looking at and effectively makes it 3D by doing this little thing, by, you know, sticking you to a surface and only giving you the two ways to move, like to actually navigate it. So it makes you think about these environments in a completely different way. Yeah.
Are they introducing new mechanics to it? Like, do they just use that one gimmick in many different ways, or do they do things like, oh, while you're 2D, you can XYZ as well?
So far, that is not the... So far, there's not an awful lot new that I've seen beyond that. Then again, I'm not too far into it. Like, I haven't even gotten to the dark world yet. So I couldn't say if they mess with it, you know, too much. But, like, I mean, Zelda, you know, you kind of know what items you're going to get. And, you know, like any kind of like innovation or playing around is going to be in the margins. That said, you know, the idea that like it just opens up a bunch of dungeons to you and gives you the ability to take the tools, it's less railroady than Zelda has been for a very long time.
Oh, that's cool.
Including Spirit Tracks, which was literally railroady.
I'd be interested to see if they take all those, you know, staple items that you mentioned and kind of reimagine what they do in 2D. So they, you know, they have a different functionality in 2D than they do in 3D.
Oh, yeah.
In like the base world, I guess.
Yeah, I'd be curious. I would be very curious if that was the case. Huh. But yeah, I love it. The music is great.
I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah. It is very good bedtime playing. So. And that's everything. You guys want to button it up?
Let's do so.
the credit. Well, that was the level, level number 53 to be exact. As I said at the beginning here, we are, or at least I will not be here next week. If you guys want to orchestrate something, that is totes cool. But otherwise, scheduling will resume as regular on the, you know, on a non Dark Souls 2 week. So, if you want to participate in that multiplayer thing, as we said, that is facebook.com/ the level podcast. And, you know, we put out that call there. Thank you, everybody, for coming out in force. And let us know if you like this little rearranging that we've done. You know, we're always – that's kind of the cool thing about running our own thing and doing this podcast and not being beholden to anybody but you guys. Like, we can totally, like, shift around to do whatever makes the best product for you. So let us know. And that is, like, duckfeed.tv/contact. Otherwise, there's the huge, there's iTunes ratings and reviews, there's the Amazon tip jar, that's duckfeed.tv/tip jar, and good old-fashioned telling your friends. Is there anything I'm missing, you guys?
Don't think so.
Okay. Talk to your friends.
Yeah, talk to your friends. Even though Skype tries to get in the way, talk to your friends. So, this has been Cole Ross. I am at Cole Ross on Twitter. That's KOLERoss.
I am Dennis Furia at D Furia on Twitter.
I am Ben Merkel at Merkelizer on Twitter.
And until next time, just remember, this wasn't a cynical episode at all.
Cut to Cole yelling.
Damn it!
fucking thing sucks!
Fucking garbage is what this is. Skype? Okay, if anybody out there, if it's $100 a month, I will pay it. I will pay it to have something that is not fucking bullshit garbage that ruins podcasts. I'm sick and goddamn tired of having to deal with this fucking shit every single time I hop on this goddamn microphone. Sorry, it's not anything. I don't know why I'm yelling. I'm yelling to nobody. But like it's terrible. It is the worst thing.
Are you not having a beer tonight, Cole? You seem really on edge.
So just about this, it's been an issue like for the past, I would say, like maybe 2 months of recording, actually. Like anytime. Like anytime. And you know, like it's better when it's just roboting and when it's just lag. It's better when it's roboting than when it's lag, because when somebody starts coming across like a robot, it's fine. But what you see happens is you try and cut in, and because, you know, one of us is maybe like 4 or 5 seconds behind, so I'm like, and at least those train wrecks, as everybody like politely tries to avoid like stepping on each other, and it kills the flow of the conversation. It kills it. It makes it just like just an abomination. And so, like, I would rather Skype just drop the call than do this bullshit. But okay, I'm gonna drop this. Dennis, can you call?
Yeah, I can try.
Okay, cool. So now guys know what I sound like when I'm angry.
Yeah, takes a lot to get you there.
Yeah. Well, no, it's like the most trivial thing.
Not when you're trying to do a fucking podcast.
Yeah, it's true. I'm back.
What's up?
Hey, Cole.
Hi.
What you drinking?
I've got Yingling.
What you bevin?
Yeah, I mean, just standard.
Old standby.
I picked some up when I was at the grocery store because it was on sale.
Mm-hmm.
It is functional. What's funny is I've actually been like in a really good mood these past couple days. So,
because of anything in particular?
No.
He just likes yelling at things.
Yeah. Oh man, he just throws and yells. All
right. Yeah. it's always the stupidest things that derail that kind of mood, though.
Yeah, definitely. Like, well, no, like it's kind of like the old standby. Like, you can't logic somebody into a situation they didn't logic themselves out of, or sorry, you can't logic somebody out of a situation somebody didn't logic themselves into, right? And so like whenever it comes to like talking with somebody and figuring out like, okay, so do you know why you're here? No? Okay. I have like, we're so far back in like the way that I like would understand how to help you that like, I don't even know. So like if you didn't come by that, like good, that good mood, honestly, it was just kind of like, there's, you know, like maybe the humidity and the air pressure are just right. And like, there's just the right amount of sunlight bouncing off the snow that you feel fine. Like if it is something that fragile that is doing it, then something as stupid could also like, just like take that away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully it doesn't stay away.
Yeah. No. I wouldn't even say I'm that mad because like we've been recording and that was fun and like we had no audio quality dips. Knock on wood. All right. Let's do this. All right. Let's go ahead and get her rolling. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
My name is Ben Markle.
Ben, you know we're starting.
I was mid-bite when you said, let's start. I'm sorry.
Okay. So
we don't have David to slow us down and give me eating time.
Okay. Let's
crept up on you.
Let's retake that just because it is. Right. It's fine.
Oh, I'm fine.
Let me know when you're good.